Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football pre- and post-game show co-host.
73 points in the last five quarters. 73 points. I mean, this is the NFL. This isn't like playing an FBS school in an FBS, whatever those, the different sub-league. Just to say it bluntly, the Bears suck. It's terrible. The way they look the last five quarters, that's bad football. You just lost a division opponent by 31 points. That's a bad football team.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli on The Score.
We go live to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score, Patrick Manelli. And I don't know why we all paid attention to that exact comment you made on the post-game show about FBS and then the sub-leagues, but that got to me. All of it got to me, and I know you guys were a flagship on the Fox dealing with it as well, but... a couple days removed now after Sunday, Patrick, how do you feel about, I guess, A, those comments that you heard in our open, and then B, the entire thing?
The same. I'm just kind of finishing up the All-22 right now, and it's really depressing. And it's obviously depressing because I've been doing this, I've been retired 12 years I've been doing radio, and I feel like I'm doing the same show every weekend. And it truly is depressing. Playing for the Bears as long as I have. As long as I did, and as much as I love them and it's in my heart and all that kind of stuff, to come out and say they suck, that hurt. It was hard to say, but that's what I felt. And watching the tape, that's what it looks like. I mean, it's everything I said there is still how I feel. It's still how the tape looks. There's a lot of times you say on Monday, the tape is not as bad as it looked, or it's not as good as it looked. However, the game went, it was bad. You know, you guys have been talking about it all morning. They can't get to the quarterback. Jalen Johnson's out now. TJ Edwards is out now. I just feel like we've done the same thing over and over. Guys aren't playing up to their expectations. Guys aren't paying up to their pay. It's just over and over. So it's not any better, guys. Not at all.
Patrick, I appreciate your honesty and your transparency. I'm going to ask this question because I think it gets right to the heart of the matter, because I think Ryan Poles is to blame for all of this. How many elite players, now that Jalen Johnson is out for who knows how long, how many elite players are there on the Bears?
I mean, if you look at resume, right, Joe Tooney, are you talking how they're playing right now? I would say zero, but Joe Tooney is probably the most decorated player.
Okay, outside of Tooney, though.
Yeah, nobody, right? Nobody. Nobody's, like I said, nobody's playing up to their pay. Montez Sweat, great. He came in and came up with this Tez effect. Where is that? I want to see that. There's still some one-on-ones. He's not getting on there. There's one play I was just watching that Sam Laporta came in motion to block Montez Sweat, and he almost gets there. They hit Jameis away. I think it was the play where T.J. Edwards hurts his hamstring. If he gets there, maybe T.J. Edwards doesn't hurt his hamstring. But there's just plays that they're not finishing. You're getting paid to win those battles. You're getting paid to make a difference in the game. And Marshall, there's nobody on this team that I think is an elite player. I mean, Jalen Johnson was our number one guy, our Pro Bowler. There's just nobody there.
Ooh, Pat, let's get.
It's sad because real quick.
Keep it going.
Keep it going, Pat.
Ryan Poles is right. It's depressing because he's 3-17. When that stat came up, Dustin handed the piece of paper to Mully, and I didn't even think about it. He's 3-17 in his last 20 games. I mean, that's inexcusable. That's unacceptable. We've been praising him the last couple of years, saying that, okay, he messed up and didn't fix the O-line last year. Well, he fixed the O-line. They're still not playing great. So all these things he's done so far, it's not working. So a lot is on Ryan Poles. A lot is on the players. But he's in charge of the players, right? So I'm discouraged of what I've seen in 2 weeks. I'm really discouraged.
Robbie, let's start him on 10 milligrams of Lexapro. Let's get that Patrick Manley. I'm hearing some warning signs, some red flags. Let's start it off at 10, then we'll work you up to 20, and I think that will put a dent in your Bears
this
depression.
This is a therapy session right now, though.
Yeah, no, it is, man. I need it. I'm taking my Calm, magnesium, all that stuff. Anything to just get me kind of relaxed. And it's aggravating, guys. It's not fair for the city. You know, there are kids that are, 12 years old that have never seen, a run of a winning Bears team. Think about that. So there's kids, they're 8 or 9 year old kids. I think I was talking to Olin. I think his daughter's 9 or whatever. It's like, Dad, why are you such a big Bears fan? Obviously, you played, but they're not good. Nobody, you think about a 12-year-old has not seen a history of a good run of Bears.
That's really bad.
Football.
That's so sad.
That's a valid question when you put it that way.
Oh, man.
So 2018 was the year.
There's people my age and younger that have 8-year-olds, and they're like, Dad, why are you watching? Mom, Dad, why are you watching the Bears game?
All right, Lito, let's start it at 20. Let's start 20 milligrams. Never mind, Robbie. So never mind.
That's
10.
How bad it is, guys. Yeah.
No,
you're
not
wrong. About it.
I hear
you. You've got to coach your kids now. We're the Lions. We've become the Lions.
Oh, no.
We're becoming the Lions. I talked about that. It's the depressing.
I'm not writing that.
Oh, God. Well, Robbie's not going
to
write that down.
Mom is don't let your babies grow up to be Bears fans.
I do have a specific question for you. I'm losing I'm losing the Montez Sweat battle here, which I'll lay out again in a second. We can do that all morning for a while, but I really want to know specifically from having watched the tape, what did you see on the 3rd-and-1 and the 4th-and-1? Whose fault was it that the Bears were not able to get 1 yard on the offense? And then we'll get back to Montez Sweat.
I mean, that's the O-line. You've got to be able to move the pile, right? I mean, they went to the right the first time, and they're trying to go to the gap, the empty side between the shade and the 4-5 technique, and they're trying to get in there. They're not getting enough movement. They tried it to the right. They tried it to the left. And to me, that's simple football. And Olin and I talked about it in the post game. I don't know if we talked about it on air, but, okay, Caleb hasn't probably done a lot of quarterback sneaks. That's not an excuse. I'm sorry. That's simple football. That's 101. That's just taking a snap and running forward. Or going to the left, going to the right, and getting a half a yard. And they couldn't do it twice. That, to me, kind of sums up my quotes there at the end of the game, that if you can't get a half a yard with two plays and a simple quarterback sneak, quarterback center exchange, and just diving left or diving right, that says a lot. But it's on the O-line, in my opinion, Mark, that you've got to get enough movement. I thought Caleb did a fine job of moving forward, but there wasn't enough space for him to fall forward for half a yard.
And then the thing on Sweat, just really quickly here, is I guess what I'm saying about he has not been good. There is no doubt about it. I guess my question to you is that I asked Marshall and Layla is, do you think he can get it back on, or is he done? Is he cooked? Is he just not going to be the Montez Sweat ever again that he was 2 years ago?
I hope not. I don't know. I'm not inside of I don't know. I'm not inside of his head. He has all the tools. Grody, you see him in the locker room. That dude's a man-child, right? I mean, he looks different than a lot of guys that are NFL players, and you'd hope he could transition that to the field. But my thing is, I just want to win the one-on-one battles he should win. Recognize when it's happening. Yes, is he getting all the attention? Sure, he's getting a lot of attention. But the great ones still win those, right? They know how to get through a chip. They know how to get through a double team. They know how to get to the quarterback. Is it there? I don't know. And I just hope so, because right now without Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, it's on his shoulders now that he's got to be the guy to step up to change the game. He's got to be the guy to get the sacks, the pressures, the tip balls, or whatever you can do from that DN position. So the team is going to be leaning on him defensively a lot.
Patrick, I also know that not everybody was able to see the postgame show on Sunday. It is available for people on YouTube if they want to check it out. Strongly recommend. So I want to rewind to even before the game began on Sunday. What did you think when you saw the inactives list?
As far as Jalen Johnson playing and TJ Edwards playing?
No, just the, Ozzie Trapillo not playing, Shamar Turner not playing.
Oh, the second rounders. Yeah, see, that's interesting to me, too, that, if you drafted a second round pick, he should be over Theo Bennett. He should be on the active roster. He should be the one getting reps. But does that mean you missed on Ozzie Trapillo? I don't know yet. Is it early? Shamar Turner, does he need to play now? I think you should. I think you're not seeing enough pressure. But here's the other thing, Layla. We're not at Hallis Hall. We're not in meetings. We don't watch all of practice. You don't get to see practice tape. You don't get to see, are they truly ready? My guess would be they are not. and that's why they are not playing, and that's why the other guys have earned the spots. But again, to go back to Marshall and your question about Ryan Poles, that's an indictment on Ryan Poles. You draft a person in the second round, they should be getting snaps. They should be playing. They should be contributing and not wearing sweats on Sunday.
The evidence is mounting, like piling up like receipts. But unfortunately, at the same time, because of the recent contract extension that was given out, so is the pile of money that Ryan Poles is receiving from the Bears. And that's where I have kind of a conflict. Patrick Manley joining us, as he does every week, to discuss his favorite team, the Bears, here on Raheem.
They are my favorite team. They're just not good.
Listen, okay. Let's go forward. Because here's what I want to know. I've been having trouble sleeping at night because this really happened to me last night.
Jesus, we need to get pills from Marshall too. Robbie, write this down.
I'm trying to figure out.
Take a lot of magnesium right before bed.
I'm trying to talk myself into a way that the Bears can beat the Cowboys besides, say, any given Sunday. How do the Bears, as currently constructed, and knowing who's available, who's not available, how do they beat the Cowboys?
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. They got to score points. And I will say this. If the defense didn't play as poorly as they did last week and give up 52 points, I think we'd be praising Caleb and the steps he took from week one to week two. I'm interested to hear more of the quarterback gurus talk this week on the station about evaluating him. Just what I saw, I saw what I wanted. I saw him execute from the pocket. I saw him get to the top of his drop, deliver accurate balls. I saw him kind of read the field a little bit better. I don't know if they simplified the reads for him or whatnot, what it was supposed to be for him. But I thought he played better. So if the offense can do what they did with Rome's, 128 yards, unfortunately had a couple drops. You always got to bring up the negative as a player. You always got to know you could do better. But offensively, I think they could put up points if Caleb continues to grow like he did from week one to week two.
We are going to have Tim Jenkins on later on today.
Yeah, I'm interested to listen to him.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. But just like through your eyes, Pat, what did you see specifically that looked better about Caleb this week relative to last week?
Conviction, confidence, accuracy. Just guys right out of their break, you know, delivered right on time, right in the right spot. He took the check down quickly when it wasn't there. I thought his pocket presence was a lot better. I thought he stayed in just a little bit longer, but I thought also the protection was a little better than week one. Minnesota has a much better D-line, I think, overall than Detroit. But he looked more comfortable. I think I talked about at the beginning of last year, he looked nervous and he got more comfortable as the year went along. And I think he's back to that. He looked more comfortable in the pocket in week two. And he just looked like he had conviction. He looked like he was confident and comfortable.
We're talking to Patrick Manley, the former Chicago Bear, also part of our pre- and post-game coverage on 670 The Score. And the segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Patrick, I don't want to go back to, say, the Montez Sweat battle necessarily, but when Ben Johnson...
This is very grody. Come on. We need to hold on.
I'm for
this
that.
This would be fantastic.
But when Ben Johnson talked about Montez Sweat, he did mention winning the one-on-one battles. Yes. And I feel like that was something that wasn't unique to him in the past few games we've seen. We've seen a lot of one-on-one battles go in favor of the opponents, and that speaks to talent and execution. What do you think about that aspect of the past two games?
Yeah, he's not doing it. And what I do love about it too, Layla, is that Coach Johnson's calling players out. And he's not doing it like in a mean way. He's just stating what the obvious is, what we're all seeing on tape, what we all saw on Sunday to what we all see on the All-22, and then what is being probably or most likely is being said in meeting rooms. So I like that. It's a breath of fresh air. It's a way to coach your players through the media a little bit. But it's just obvious. He's not winning. He's not getting there. And I love this coaching staff holding these guys accountable. There's nothing wrong with stating the obvious to us as a fan, to us as the media and all that, to get your message across to the players.
Okay, Patrick, I have to ask the obvious question because special teams. Should Cairo Santos be hearing footsteps?
I mean, come on, you can't kick that ball out of bounds. About the Jake Moody.
Yes.
When he kicked it out of bounds on that first kick, that's when I'm like, all right, that's why Jake's here. So I scratched my head when I saw that. I think Jake Moody is a 74.5% field goal kicker. I did some research with some people and found out he's kind of changed his steps. He's trying to work on kind of become more of a pro style kicker. And as far as his approach is, I mean, approach is like how you kick and all that kind of stuff, your steps and all that technical stuff. So maybe they're bringing him in knowing that he's working on that and can become better. But To bring in a kicker and take up a roster spot on the practice squad, it's kind of shocking to me. To me, there's something going on behind the scenes, Marshall, and I don't know what it is. That would be the only reason why you would do that. I thought maybe it was an injury, something like that, but I don't know. I'm really interested. I just scratched my head a lot when I heard that. I'm like, it makes no sense. And I talked to some other coaches, and they don't understand it either.
Yeah, no, I can't really. I'm trying to come up with some sort of reason for it. I mean, other than they just want to have their cover their asses, basically.
But don't forget, they extended him, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's a captain.
But here's the other thing, guys. I'm talking about numbers on practice squad. You have all these injuries, right? You need more bodies out there for practice. So the starters aren't taking scout team reps, or they're limited reps, so they're ready for Sunday. That's, I know it's one body, but that helps a lot. I remember, like, when I was a different practice squad numbers when I was there, but there were times I had to step in as an O lineman, a practice squad O lineman, because we had guys down so much, and it sucked for me because I didn't like it. But I'm not giving the same look that somebody else can during the week. And what's the kicker doing? He's standing over there for 15 minutes they practice, and the rest of the practice they're not doing anything. So there's a lot that goes into it for me as far as making your team better. I don't know how that's making your team better.
Why are the penalties? Another eight penalties.
That's on the players, man. Mm. That's holding each other accountable. I mean, you started off the second half with an offside. You started off the game kicking it out of bounds. That's another reason why I just kind of got to that point a little bit after that. I watched the All 22, and I'm like, we started the second half with a penalty.
We're three and out. I mean, 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, yes. With three and out. Not penalty, but three and out.
Right, but that's on the player. To me, that's on the player. Okay, the coach can coach, and they can yell at you and talk to you and point it out and make you run laps or run sprints or all that. But that's player to player. You've got to have the concentration. You can't let your teammates down. And a lot has to do with concentration. Jumping off sides, knowing the snap count, paying attention to understand, that's important, obviously. You can't do that. But that, to me, is just – that's on the player. I never blame coaches for that kind of stuff.
That's interesting because our default is always to blame the coaching.
No.
Yeah.
Let's just pay attention. Know the snap count. I know, okay, you're running out there as an O-lineman. They might be – you've got motion, a lot of motion going on with Ben Johnson's offense. So you're seeing the mic point might change. Things are changing. But you're a professional. That's your job. Don't jump off sides.
Ah, strong words from Patrick Manley, and valid, because we want to talk about the penalties later on our show. Just really quickly, too, after seeing, say, did you catch any of the Sunday night game and watch the Vikings and Falcons?
I didn't. I did not, but was kind of shocked to see the – well, I did not, but just seeing the score and kind of what I read this morning.
Yeah.
It's more an indictment on the Bears, right?
Well, and they
what I said in the postgame.
Yeah, the Falcons sacking J.J. McCarthy six times, too, was something I was curious if you had seen.
No, I did not get to watch it, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. I think you know what I'm saying.
I don't
want to
watch it
stack.
Because I know exactly what you're saying, and that's just discouraging, and that's going to be a big problem. And I'm wondering if Dennis Allen, you know, he's a man-heavy kind of coach. Is he going to go to more zone, or is he going to have to? With the depleted secondary.
Well, once you start doing that, though, that sounds like you're putting yourself in a position. It's untenable because that's not what he does.
Now with the different personality,
and
he doesn't have the bodies.
He doesn't have the bodies.
You can't force it.
Well,
so.
The one thing you said earlier, which is interesting, is Kyler Gordon. Do you move him outside?
Yeah. I say give it a shot. You know, at this point, right? He might be the most qualified out of everybody you have on the bench.
Yeah, best players in the best position, right? Is that the guy that you could put out there and because Tyreek Stevenson had a rough game, obviously. Amon St. Brown was great. I mean, they put him in some tough situations. But if you've got to have two good corners, and we're going to be down to two and three, and then could Kyler Gordon be a two or a one? That'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
FCS and FBS, here we come,
yes,
baby.
Whatever it is. Let's not be an FBS school.
Division two. I knew what you were talking about. NAIA, let's get weird.
There we go. Yeah.
Patrick Manley, thanks so much for joining us. And this is a reminder, by the way, that you can check out Patrick Manley along with Olin Krutz and Mully as they get you ready for Chicago versus Dallas on Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon. You get 3 hours of them on your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. And then immediately after following the game, Patrick, Olin, and Mully will have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Thanks to Patrick Manley for joining us. And Ian Happ, we have a lot of questions for Mr. Happ today. Could they be celebrating later in Pittsburgh?
Dun, 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 dun.
Uh-huh. We're going to talk about it next on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. You obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
One down, Happ hits a high fly ball deep left field. Back is Mangum near the fence. That ball is gone. A home run for Ian Happ. It landed in the basket.
Gold Glove Award winner.
High drive, left center field. Happ is out there. Oh, what a play!
Host of the Compound Podcast.
And you guys got to remember, it's the beginning of the Ben Johnson era, and we got to give him time. We got to give him time.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Well, I'm not quite sure about that time thing, at least. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we are happy to go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find our friend Ian Happ. He is the Cubs Gold Glove outfielder, co-hosting the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ian Happ joining us from Pittsburgh. Hey, Ian.
How you doing?
We're good. We had a good time watching the broadcast last night, because I don't know if you're aware of this, what with you playing in the field at the time and all, but the marquee broadcast got a hold of your brother. So now we know what your brother looks like.
Yeah, I did have a few text messages after the game from that little segment.
Yeah, in fact, we wanted to play you the audio, if that's okay. Take a listen.
You know who's distracting me tonight?
Who?
Chris Happ.
Is Chris Happ here?
He's here. He came in town to...
Has he got Chase here?
No Chase.
That's no
good. I think Chase is at home with Haley.
All right.
But
hi, Chase. Hi, Haley.
So, he's a little different from Ian, and here's why. He just looked at me and said, you guys got to tell me when I'm on so I can smile. Would Ian do that?
No.
Exactly.
Ian stole his older brother's whole bit, by the way. Ian said,
smile.
Chris, you're doing great. You're doing great. Ian sounds exactly like Chris. He's the older brother. It is not Chris sounds like Ian. Ian sounds like Chris. Remember that.
Yes.
It's amazing. Just the tone and the cadence with how they speak. Just became a dad this past year. He just became an uncle.
All right, so in the interest of equal time and you being on our show, I figured this was a good time for you to rebut John Boogshambi and Taylor McGregor's, quote, accusations, end quote. Who sounds like who?
Oh, no, I sound like him. He's the older brother. He's 6 years older. And Boog is exactly right. I did steal his skit. It is, I don't know, I've learned everything from him. And, you know, when we're on a call together, like a three-way call, or if we're doing a business call or something, people can't tell us apart. We are,
oh, wow.
We talk very similar. Yeah.
My other question on this, after learning this information about you being an uncle, are you a funcle? Like, how would you describe yourself as an uncle?
Yeah, I get to be the fun uncle. My nephew's one, just turned one, is very, very cute. And you know, luckily, my brother, sister-in-law, and nephew spent a decent amount of time in Chicago this summer, which is great. You know, my sister-in-law's from Chicago as well. So it was nice to have them around and be able to experience some of it and get to see the little one.
Now, we are assuming that your brother is there because, you know, it's in Pittsburgh and all, and he's your brother. But also because when you guys win today and the Reds and Diamondbacks lose, there's going to be a clinching of the wild card spot. So your brother's there for that, right?
You know, he came in town. We got to do something pretty cool for our high school. Giving back and donating, we were able to redo the weight room in the baseball facility that they have here, which is a really special thing. So he came in for that to be a part of it, to see my high school coach, who actually coached both of us, which and we're really close with. So that was really special. I didn't actually know about the clinching. I didn't know we were that close.
But now you great. Know.
Yeah, so the magic number is 2, and any combination of a Cubs win and Diamondbacks and Reds loss.
Yeah, you need both of them to lose. What,
so, you know, Ian, this is, I think it's a big thing that we get to talk to you about, and I'm sorry if it's a little premature. Just pretend like we didn't talk to you about it if you're worried about that type of thing. But, you know, last time was COVID. The time before that, I think there were some celebrations that typically I think other teams might have done, but because the Cubs standard was higher at the time.
His rookie year.
Yeah, when you were younger, you know, that the celebrations were a little different. How much have you thought about it, and what are your party scenarios as a team?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I haven't thought about it all that much. You know, I was really lucky in 17. We won the division, and so we clinched and we were able to have that celebration my rookie year, and I got to experience that. John Lackey made it a point to say, savor these. You know, you don't know when you're going to be back. You don't know when this is going to happen again. And so I really, really enjoyed 17, that celebration, the celebration after we beat the Nats in game 5 for the DS. So I felt that I've done that, and I've been able to experience it. I know how special it is. Unfortunately, in 18, we did save the celebration for when we were going to clinch the division. Brewers played a little bit too well. We never got to celebrate that year because we lost 163, and then we lost the wild card. Then in 20, obviously, with kind of the COVID regulations, we weren't allowed to celebrate. So I've been lucky to play in the playoffs a few times, but it's been a long time. It's been a while, and have really only had one of those, or I guess two, but in the same year in 17 of those, you know, euphoric celebrations. And so to be able to do that with this group, and kind of, you know, to earn that is going to be really special, you know, whenever it happens. You know, those things, you know, you can't take them for granted. They're, you don't know when it's going to happen again. And I've really lived that in my career.
Yeah, certainly. Ian Happ joining us here, the Gold Glove outfielder for the Cubs, on Raheem Harris and Grody, and talking about clinching possibilities, because the magic number is down to 2. It could happen tonight. The crazy part, though, is, Ian, you're in the Eastern time zone. That Arizona Diamondbacks game against the Giants doesn't even start until 9:40 your time. Ooh. So I'm imagining if there was some celebration that it would have to wait till tomorrow, and it's a day game tomorrow. So are you really even going to get a chance to do like a real celebration?
I mean, we'll definitely get a chance to do something. I'll take that. I don't know what it's going to be.
Hey, man, you guys deserve it. It's been a wild ride. It really has.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know when it's going to be. You don't know how it's going to happen. And with this new playoff format, it's different. You know, it's just, it's different because, you know, there's 3 wild cards. You're clinching different things. You know, you're clinching a playoff berth, and then you're clinching a home field advantage thing, and then so like there's so many different scenarios, but I can promise you that at some point we'll be celebrating.
It was a really good win last night for you guys, Ian, just seeing what Jameson Taillon did on the team, which of course originally drafted him, PCA hitting the ball hard, including a home run. I want to ask you though about your third inning single, where Nico Hoerner had to high jump over the ball, eventually makes it to third base and scores on the wild pitch. Does Nico say anything to you about that?
Oh yeah, he came in and he was like, "That one almost got me." and then he said, "I was shocked." You know, Nico's fast, but I was shocked that after he avoided the ball, he still went first to third. And he was like, "Took me a minute to get restarted to get to third base." But yeah, that's the one at first where there's a screamer at you. He did a really good job avoiding that.
Well, and Ian also, just again, I feel like we've been asking you about the job and the responsibility level that various pitchers have had on the team now for the past season. But you've got Cade Horton on the mound tonight. He continues to just really impress, especially given, you know, the parameters they try to put him in, you know, limiting pitches and stuff like that. And then last night you had Jameson Taillon go out there, and again after an injury, was able to produce. That's his former team. What can you say about just, again, Jameson? Because I feel like we've asked you about it a time or two, but he deserves his flowers, and also Cade Horton.
Yeah, I mean, I think guys are stepping into roles this year and being okay with it and accepting it and understanding that, like, everybody's trying to help the team. I think for our bullpen, for some of the guys that have been back and forth, you know, Soroka last night coming first appearance off the IL and being able to give us two innings, like, just guys doing anything they can to help the team win has been super impressive. I'll say with J-Mo specifically, obviously a couple injury things, but he has been so impressive. And his first start back off the IL, you know, that was, you know, what, three starts ago for him. He went like 90 pitches his first start off the IL, which was awesome. And the last two have been really good. It's been awesome to have him back. You just see the consistency of what he's able to do, the location of the pitches. You know, his fastball has actually ticked up here in the last couple starts and been super, super effective. It's just he is a professional through and through in the way that he prepares himself and the way that he does his reports and his game planning, and just an exceptional start from him last night. Cade, he has there's some special in there. I think it's just it's impressive the way that he competes, the composure and the presence on the mound. Obviously this stuff is electric with the upper 90s fastball and the kind of the pitch shape on it is pretty unique. And so and his willingness and just to be able to accept, hey, like, this is the most innings you've thrown ever. Like, we need you for the whole thing. And so we're going to do it a little bit different. And his acceptance of that has been really impressive, and just going with the flow of what he's asked to do at the beginning of his career here, and it's been super impressive and a huge lift for us.
This segment with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. And what was Anthony Rizzo Day like for you?
Yeah, just a super special day, I think, just to be able to see fan reaction, which you kind of knew it was going to be like that, but always amazing to see the buzz in the stadium. And I think the most special part for me was to see how happy Anthony was, how much it meant to his family. You know, this place has meant so much to so many people, but for Riz, for his family, for the work that his family has done in the city, you know, Riz and his foundation have done so much work, but behind the scenes, what his parents, what his brother, what his wife and Abby Suarez have done for the community and kind of that bond that they have made, you know, with each other and with the community is super, super special to us. So to be able to see all of them back, and appreciating it and kind of the finality of his career, but also the beginning of something new, which is, you know, this ambassadorship and being back and being, you know, he's going to be a fixture here for as long as he wants to be. And that part of it was super, super special and just a really fun day.
He did miss the ball in the bleachers, though.
I mean,
caught yours, but missed the other one.
Yeah, I mean, guy's got four gold gloves and a platinum, and you know, you expect a little bit more, but I guess that's what happens when you kind of sail off into the sunset.
I got to admit, I was expecting some dramatics from you on that last at-bat of the game because Rizzo did, while he was in the bleachers, I don't know if you heard this, but he predicted, he said, Ian Happ is going to win the game in the ninth inning.
He did. He told me that. Mm-hmm. Told me to my face. I tried a little too hard.
Wow. No pressure.
I wanted that one.
Yeah.
Got a little... Maybe overzealous in trying to do it, but it was a cool day, and wish I would have been able to have some heroics there. That would have been a pretty special ending. But maybe if Riz would have caught the ball, I would have got the hit.
See, yeah. It is Rizzo's fault. Yeah. That's how it's going to say. I think that's what we've learned.
Maybe you just spray him with some celebratory champagne if you guys all get to celebrate together. Just saying, maybe there's a little bit of a directed bottle toward a spray toward Anthony Rizzo.
We are really pushing the party on him,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, sorry. We're the party planning committee, whether or not you like it.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Ian Happ, have a great game in Pittsburgh. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks so much.
See you, man.
That was Ian Happ, of course. Connect Roasters, also available at Stangold's. You can check that out as well. And now we have a giveaway. Caller 6 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see our show at Budweiser Brickhouse in Wrigleyville next Tuesday, September 23rd from 10 to 2. Special guest Nico Horner will join us on site that day during the noon hour. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. Coming up next, it is halftime, and Dave the Cat had some unlikely fans.
He did. Yes.
I think we should discuss it.
Yes. Dave and I took a little trip to the vet the other day, so we'll tell you what happened at the vet.
I love a famous cat.
Yeah, yeah. More famous than me.
Garfield, Heathcliff, Dave.
That's right.
The greats.
He's Dave, and he's a cat.
Your favorite orange cat had quite the tail. Next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. It is halftime here. Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. And we began by talking about Jalen Johnson giving us his own words about what happened regarding his injuries. He's now out indefinitely. The Bears secondary taking a massive hit. And who needs to step up? Also, the defensive line. Ben Johnson talked about it. We heard from Grady Jarrett as well. We discussed Montez Sweat's involvement because that's what happens when you get paid $98 million. I take the paycheck too, but it does come at a price.
He didn't pay himself. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if we could pay ourselves, life would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Yeah, so that can't happen, but we can try to figure things out. Patrick Manley talked to us about his thoughts on the Bears game and what to do moving forward. And Ian Happ talked to us about basically us going through our party scenarios with him if the Cubs can clinch because their magic number is 2.
I can't believe he didn't know the number was 2.
It has been too long. It has been too long. We have not seen one of these in a very long time. 4, 5 years? 5 years, 2020. I hate this decade.
It's halftime.
Heathcliff, Heathcliff, no one should terrorize the neighborhood.
And in the world of famous cats, to perhaps Marshall and me, there's Heathcliff, who was a famous orange cat of the 80s. There's obviously Garfield, another famous
lasagna
orange cat.
Lasagna loving, Monday hating.
Yeah.
Popular in the 80s and the 90s. He loved lasagna. And then there's also Dave the cat, who is also orange with some white as well.
He's just a baby.
He's Mark Rohde's cat.
Yeah. And, you know, people periodically will ask on the text line, what's the update on Dave? And, you know, we can't really justify a whole lot of time to talk about Dave the cat. However, Dave had his, you know, annual vet checkup where typically they tell me the cat is too fat, and if he keeps getting fatter, he's going to get diabetes, so we put him on the diet food. Just that's the update on Dave. He's fine. No parasites, nothing silly like that.
But
American
diet
food?
No, he loves the food. It's great. It's great. Like, he really seems to love it. But the quantity is not quite the same either. So,
old Dave got bit by the portion size.
The way you said the quantity.
Yeah, it's always about
so
the quantity.
So Dave wants to know where the rest of his food is.
Basically, yes. And he wants to know at 5:30 in the morning, typically. He's like, bro, what is up? Get out of bed. Get me the food. And then you can go back to bed, which is what happens.
5:30? That's late. He used to be
actually
4 a.m.
You're right. We've gotten better. We've gotten better. And this time is for real. I want Dave around for another 10 years. So I will do what I have to do. But the fun part was, as I was checking out and buying this very expensive food, I might add, there was a gentleman sitting at the vet's office, and he looks at me and looks at Dave, and he goes, huh, I always wonder what Dave the cat looked like.
I can't believe you never put him like on your tweet, your Twitter, your Instagram.
Well,
he has been,
but not everybody goes to my Twitter or my Instagram.
They should.
They probably should. Well, probably not, because every social media outlet I've had in my life has been hacked three or four times.
You're not great on the security thing.
So instead of you getting recognized, like where I was like, oh, do you ever get recognized? Do people get recognized on the street? Dave the cat got recognized.
He did. He got recognized. So shout out to Ray is his name. We like names like Ray. And shout out to his pup. I told him I'd give him a shout out. Izzy. His old, beautiful dog who he said is getting a little bit older, but he's been a good dog. So shout out to you, Ray, for saying hey to Dave the cat.
And also, I love it when you send pics of Dave the cat because I don't have a cat, so I feel like I'm living vicariously through you.
I love that you said that because I never want to overdo sending out cat pictures, but Dave is a beautiful boy.
He's so fluffy.
He's such a fluffy kid. He needs to lose just a little bit of weight. One other thing that I wanted to mention before it escapes me, by the way, for my oldies but goodies out there, for my olds, shout out to my olds out there. In the intro to Ian Happ, you heard the name of the Rays player, Jake Mangum. There are certain olds out there, like me, who are Bears fans, who are saying, wait a minute, what about John Mangum?
Oh, yeah. That's his dad.
That is his dad, which blew me away. I think
Mango?
It was, yeah,
you know how I know that, Grody? You know how I know that?
How do you know that?
Where do you think Jake Mangum went to college, per se?
Oh, he's an Alabama guy?
No, it's Hale State all the way, baby. Oh, Mississippi Hale State.
Oh, Mississippi
State. They have
State.
Quite the baseball program.
Do they?
We do.
Yeah, I guess they do. Yeah. Will Clark, right? Did Will Clark go to Mississippi
Will
State?
Will Clark, Rafael Palmeiro.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a building. Rafael Palmeiro bought a building, and they named it after him. And that's where they work out, is at the Rafael Palmeiro
still
Center.
Is he still respected there after the whole steroids thing and
actually,
all?
Didn't he do
is
it
Barry
recently?
Is Barry Bonds still respected by Giants fans?
That's a great point.
Okay.
Got
but
me.
Didn't he do it recently, Rafi? Like, that was something...
That's since I graduated, so that was... that was in the early 2000s.
Do you know that the Cubs had Rafael Palmeiro and Mark Grace on the roster at the same time? One was playing outfield, that'd be Palmeiro, and two of the most pure left-handed hitters baseball saw in the 90s.
So... I mean, there's no question. And maybe two of the best left-handed swings.
It's like sweet Ruffy's swings.
Rafi's swing is incredible.
Beautiful. Also, back to Jake and John. They were at the Bears game Monday because they had an off day. The Rays did in Chicago.
How dare you one-up me? You just did it. You one-up me. Yeah. No, that's okay.
Well, you know, I'm the one who follows the White Sox and wants to talk White Sox, even though they just got swept.
Hey,
and things are not looking up.
I put a question in for the White Sox that was rejected today during the pre-show meeting.
We have this thing about the data and what the numbers tell us, and then
I understand. I'm just saying, for the record, Marshall, I tried.
But
I
appreciate Dan on Twitch just said Nurmal is greater than Garfield. Okay, listen here. Nurmal Garfield tried to send to Abu Dhabi all the time. Okay. Garfield and Nurmal, you've got to know where the hierarchy is. Nurmal is not better than Garfield.
Yeah, Nurmal's not better than Garfield. That's like saying Scrappy-Doo is better than Scooby-Doo. He's not.
Okay, blind spot. I don't know who Nurmal is.
Nurmal was Garfield's nemesis.
Oh, okay.
Nurmal was so cute.
It's the cute.
Everybody loved Nurmal. Nurmal was great.
Nurmal had aesthetic privilege is what we'll call it.
Aesthetic privilege.
Like, you know, like... Dogs, like, I have a bunch of dogs in my building, and it always is interesting how the most aesthetically pleasing dogs get all the attention, all the
some
love.
Some sort of doodle, right?
But the little mutt over there that's just as equal a dog as the, you know,
put him in the truck,
$1,000 dog doesn't get quite the same love. So I always make sure when I see a mutt, I try to, you know, give him some love.
Yeah, and yeah, Nurmal knew Nurmal was cute. But Garfield is the reason Nurmal exists.
Exactly.
Garfield just couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle having a nemesis.
The aesthetically pleasing Nurmal.
No, we could do the Garfield and Nurmal battle all day.
I'm more of an
Odie
guy.
Frankly, that could take up the rest of our show.
I had a friend named Nurmal in high school.
You
Nurmal
did?
Patel. Nurmal Patel. That was his name. Yeah.
I just thought there was a name on Garfield.
Maybe he was named after Nurmal.
And you know what? John was a single guy with an orange cat that was too fat.
Oh, my God. Send me the book. I will read up on John.
And didn't he work in media too?
Ooh,
did
John?
He did.
John
I think
did?
He did.
Yeah, wasn't he a cartoonist?
Yeah, like, I think so.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Well, let's do five on it next. Bears questions, and we will talk about those Cubs as well. Rahimi Harrison Grody next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.